Good day to you. I'm Don Curtis. Once again, it's our privilege to study a portion of God's Word. I'd like for you to listen today and stay with me as I try to talk to you about a subject that is up on my mind and heart. I hope to be of help to somebody. I appreciate you listening. It makes no difference if you're saved or unsaved. I appreciate you listening. And I hope to help you that are saved. I hope you can take something I say and use to help somebody else. And I pray that if you're not saved, if you don't have heartfelt salvation, if you don't have an experience with God, a spiritual experience, if you haven't been born from above, then I'd like for you to listen to me each time that I come your way, that I might be able to help you to find the Lord and have what I've got. I want to talk to you today about the 23rd Psalm. There's lots of scriptures in the Bible that are a comfort to Christians. They give us comfort. And I'm thankful that God comforts us in a lot of ways. He comforts us by His Holy Spirit. He comforts us by His promises and His Word. And He comforts us by the things that we read day after day after day. Many Christians, many of them, can quote Psalms 23, and it is a great comfort to them. I would like to deal with this today, and I'd like for you that are lost to listen, because I really want to talk to you. I'd like for the others to listen, but I'd like to talk with you and to tell you what a Christian has that you don't have. My subject is the 23rd Psalm. I'd like to read the psalm to you, and then I'd like to talk to you about what the psalmist has said, and he indeed says a lot. He says a lot to us, and I'm so thankful for the comfort that's found in this scripture and many others. Beginning with verse 1, there's only 6 verses of this psalm. Beginning with verse 1, the psalmist said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." These are some wonderful things, wonderful thoughts in the scripture, this 23rd Psalm for Christians. But I want to call them to your attention. May Christians be blessed today by listening to the promises that are laid out to them and the things that are said here. But I would like to point out to you what we Christians have and you that are unsaved don't have. And perhaps there's many of you out there that think you're saved, but you don't have some of these things that I want to talk to you about. The first verse, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." The Lord is my shepherd. Shepherd is a metaphor. He's not a shepherd, and we're not a sheep in reality. But the metaphor is used here, comparing Himself to a shepherd unto us that are saved, His sheep. And so we have that relationship as a shepherd and the sheep. And you that are lost don't have that. You don't have a shepherd in your life. You don't have what we have. You don't have someone to watch over you like we have. Well, I'm thankful today that I can say, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I look for Him for everything. I look for Him for all things." Isaiah talks about in Isaiah 40th, about Jesus coming to the world. He speaks of John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ, and then he speaks of Christ, and he said he'll take his lambs under his arm and draw them to his breast. Friends, the thing that we can be said of the scripture Isaiah 40 is that the Lord loves his sheep like a shepherd that would go out and take his lambs and put them under his arm, draw them to his breast and bring them into the fold. He cares for his sheep. The Lord is my shepherd, and I'm glad to know that he cares for me. Jesus said in John the 10th chapter, he said, I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for my sheep. And he also says, I know my sheep, and I am known of mine. Oh, isn't it a wonderful thing to be able to know the good shepherd, to know the Lord Jesus Christ, to really know him? I have met him in a spiritual way. I've never seen the God-man in the flesh because he's been gone from this world a long time. He's at the Father's right hand, and I haven't seen him in the flesh. But friend, I have met him in a spiritual way. He is my shepherd. And I do know him, and I know his voice. And he said, my sheep hear my voice, and they know me. And we know him. And I'm telling you, it's a wonderful thing to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and to really know him in a spiritual way, to know his voice. And it's a wonderful thing to know his voice and to follow him. Now, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Psalms 37 and 25, David talks about the Lord taking care of us. He said, I've never seen a righteous man forsaken nor his seed begging bread. You know, David is saying a man that's saved by God's grace and lives for him, I've never seen him forsaken or his seed begging bread. And as I am here talking to you today, I can tell you that in all of my life, I have never seen a saved man, a born-again child of God that's living for the Lord, that his children are in begging for bread. The Lord is my shepherd, the psalmist says, and shall not want. Now, he's not talking about wanting a bigger house or a bigger car or more money, things like that. But he's talking about the spiritual things, the things we need in a spiritual way, and the things we really need to take care of us and our livelihood each day. Friend, the Lord does that, and I want you to know that he does that. But if you're lost and undone and you're not saved, the Lord is not your shepherd, and you're not following him. He's not leading you into those green pastures. Friend, you're without God. You need to make the Lord Jesus your shepherd, and you can do that by repenting of your sins, calling on the Lord Jesus Christ, and trusting him. The psalmist said, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Now, when I study about this verse of scripture, what he has said, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. When I think of a sheep that has lay down in green pastures, he has been grazing, he is full, and he lays down out there, and he is taking a nap. Friend, that sheep is comfort. He has comfort, and that's what the Lord is telling us in this psalm. We have a comforter. The Lord, when he is leaving the world, he said, I'll not leave you comfortless, but I'll send another comforter. And he's talking about the Holy Spirit. He is the comforter. And Jesus said, I'll not leave you comfortless, I'll come unto you. And by way of the Holy Spirit, the Lord himself comes by. He comforts us. He comforts us. He comforts us in all kinds of conditions, all kinds of problems, troubles, and trials coming our way. But he comforts us. No matter what is going on, he can comfort us, and he can help us with every situation. But friend, if you're lost and undone, my point here today is that the Good Shepherd makes us to lie down in green pasture. We're comforted. But how about you? Do you have a shepherd to comfort you? There is nobody that can give you comfort like the Lord God Almighty by way of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the comforter, and He can sure comfort us. Paul even speaks in 2 Thessalonians 2:16 of everlasting consolation. You see, we experience joy and peace in the Lord, and we experience the joy that passes all understanding, our peace that passes all understanding. And Peter mentions joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. The Lord can comfort us and cause us to rejoice, and He can give us everlasting consolation. These things that we're enjoying like that, peace and joy and love and the other fruits of the Spirit, they are the earnest of our inheritance in that heavenly country. Paul said in Ephesians, the first chapter, verse 13 and 14, He said, "In whom you trusted after you heard the word of truth, even the gospel of your salvation, and after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is an earnest of our inheritance until the day of the redemption of the purchased possession." Now you see, the Holy Spirit comes into our heart, and that is the sealing. In the presence of the Holy Spirit, He gives us comfort. He can trouble our soul when we are doing things that we shouldn't as Christians. He can bring trouble and regret to our heart and cause us to sorrow. But my friend, He can comfort us, and He does comfort us. When we stay close to the Good Shepherd, we don't stray away from the Good Shepherd. When we stay close to Him, we serve Him, we stay prayed up, He comforts us, and we have this everlasting consolation. We have the joy and the peace, but it's going to be everlasting. We're going to have it in another world, and those things, the fruits of the Spirit, is their earnest. That is just a little down payment. We know a little bit about what heaven's going to be like, because the kingdom of God is not meat, but it's joy and peace. And the Holy Ghost is what Paul said. And we're going to enjoy that one day after a while. And friend, we're the Lord's sheep, and He makes us lie down in green pastures. He comforts us. He comforts us with His Spirit right now when everything's falling in around us. He can give us comfort and give us consolation. The next thing that I want to look at, He says, "He leadeth me beside the still waters." Still waters are peaceful waters. They're calm waters. When God saved my soul, I was troubled, I was scared, I was really afraid of dying and going to hell. I was one troubled fellow. But when the Lord come by and He lifted my burden and gave me peace within, friend, it's just like still water. I had peace. You know, Jesus is not called the Prince of Peace for anything. He is just that. He is the Prince of Peace. He gives us peace, and that's why He's called the Prince of Peace. Isaiah the prophet spoke of Him as being Prince of Peace, and He does. You know, in the Bible we read about, in the New Testament, we read about Jesus and His disciples on the Sea of Galilee. Jesus went to sleep, and there was a storm raging, and the disciples wake Him up, and He just speaks to the wind, the storm and the sea, and the winds and the boisterous sea, just calm. Friend, it was still water. The psalmist says He can do that. He can do that to our heart. When we're troubled, when we're troubled in soul, when we're troubled and down and hurting and afraid, He can help us as Christians. There's all kinds of things come along, but He can bring calmness to our heart. I want you to understand that there is something that you need, and we that are Christians have it, and we can understand these things when we are following the Good Shepherd. When we let the Good Shepherd lead us, we have lots and lots of blessings. And I want you to understand that when the storm was on the sea, long come Jesus. He is there in the boat with them, and He calmed the storm. He calmed the sea. He did that night when I prayed through a troubled soul, afraid of going to hell, afraid of dying without God, and the everlasting flames would be my home. But when I prayed through, He brought peace to my soul. I thank God that He leads me, yet for the still waters. Sometime in my life there's trouble like everybody else, but along comes the Prince of Peace, and he can give me comfort. Friend, if you're lost, if you're unsaved, if you don't have a spiritual birth, if you don't have heartfelt salvation, you don't know what I'm talking about, but he leads me beside the still waters. He gives me peace to my soul over and over again when things come my way. You know, he says then, he restoreth my soul. He restoreth my soul. What this means to me that when I'm down, he lifts me up. He lifts me up when I'm down. Job said, man is born of woman, is few days and full of troubles. I don't care who you are, whether you're a Christian or whether you're not a Christian. You're going to have some troubles in your life. Most of the troubles we cause ourselves, and the devil will cause us some, and other people will cause us some. But we have all kinds of problems in our life. But when we're down, oh, the Lord, our shepherd, he restores our soul. He lifts us up. We read in Job 35 and 10, one of Job's friends is speaking to Job, and he's speaking of the God of songs in the night. Many times a Christian go to sleep troubled and finally go off to sleep, but wake up in the night with a song in their heart. God give them peace, give them consolation, calms their troubled soul, brings them back to life again, brings them out of that depressed state and makes their life worth living. Friend, when you're depressed and when you're down, life is not worth living. But my friend, when the Lord comes by and he lifts you up out of that, all of that trouble, when he makes you to live again, when he restores your soul, I don't mean saves you again, I mean just brings you back to life, brings you out of that state of depression, he can do that. And we all have troubles and trials that come along. Sometimes as parents, children can drive us up the wall, so to speak. They can really cause us heartaches, but the Lord can come along and he can give us a song in the night. He can bring us to life again. He can lift us up when we're down. And that's what the psalmist is saying. He says then, he leads me in the path of righteousness for his namesake. God leads his children. The Apostle Paul says in Romans 8:14, as many as led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. It's the Holy Spirit of God leads his children. If we will let him, he'll lead us in the paths of righteousness. He is the good shepherd, and he will lead us in the path of righteousness. The Lord don't lead us into things. The devil will lead you into all kinds of things that will cause you all kinds of difficult problems in your life, will cause you all kinds of troubles and trials. But friend, the Lord don't do that. The Lord leads us into paths of righteousness, and he does it for his namesake, for his glory and honor. We are God's creation, and we are for his glory and honor. And he wants to lead us in the path of righteousness where he can bless us and cause us to avoid all those things that can bring troubles in our life. Sure, Christians have problems. Sometimes people give them a hard time when they are trying to take the cross and bear the cross for the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'll tell you, the Lord will lead them into a path of righteousness, and they will have respect by most of people will respect a Christian because he does good toward people and because he lives his life. He avoids lying. He avoids hurting someone else. He avoids stealing and taking things from somebody else. He avoids those things that get people into trouble. He avoids these things that hurt others and get himself into trouble. God leads us into a path of righteousness. Friend, if you're lost and undone, you need a shepherd that will lead you into a path of righteousness where your life can be blessed, not troubled all the time. heart, the devil will lead you into all kinds of things that cause you trouble. You need to get saved, to get be born again, and let the Lord lead you and direct your life. And friend, it'll be much better. I'll guarantee you that your life will be much, much better if you get acquainted with the Lord and He becomes your good shepherd. Your life is going to change. It's going to be good. And oftentimes, you'll feel joy and peace that passes all understanding, and love of God that's shed abroad in your hearts will cause you to love other people instead of fill with hate. And it's an awful thing to be filled with hate, but friend, the Lord can fill you with love. He can bring love into your heart. The psalmist said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil." I'm telling you, whether you're saved or whether you're lost, you're going to have to face death. You see, it's appointed unto man once to die. The Hebrew writer says that. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Solomon, speaking of death, he said there's no discharge to that war. We're not discharged from that. You know, soldiers go off to war and they serve a certain length of time in some countries in some ways, and then they'll be released with an honorable discharge. They'll go home to their families and they're alive, but there are lots of people that die, but some go home and some get a discharge. But in this war between life and death, you're going to lose the war. You're going to die, and so am I. But friend, if you're a Christian, that's not the end of things. If you're lost, you're just going to lift up your eyes on the devil's hell. But if you're saved by God's grace, you're just going to close your eyes in death, and the angels are going to take you to the portals of heaven, where everything will be just right from now on. He says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil." You know, back in the Old Testament, the children of Israel came up to the Jordan River, and we sometimes compare life to crossing that old Jordan into Canaan's happy land. There are songs that speak of the Jordan like it was death and crossing over. The children of Israel came up to the Jordan, and it was in the flood time, and the Jordan was out of its banks. It was like his great river, and they couldn't cross. But the Lord God told them to have the priest to take the Ark of the Covenant and wade out into the water. And they did what God said, and when the priest waded out into the water with the Ark of the Covenant, the water from the river just dammed up above. It just stood up without a dam. It just stopped up there, and down below, the water left, and the children of Israel crossed over. My friend, I'm telling you, the children of Israel crossed. They crossed on dry land. And I'm telling you that the children of God, when it comes to the time to die, we're going to cross this old Jordan on dry land. We're just going to close our eyes in death here and wake up in glory land, where the angels shall carry us and be happy forevermore. How about you? Don't you want this promise that here that said to the psalmist that you don't have to fear death, that you don't have to fear devil's hell? You need that. I'm so glad that I have that, and the Jordan is just going to be dry land for me. But how about you? It's going to be a terrible time for you when you face the flames and the fires of hell just as you cross. But for me and for those that are truly born again, we're going to a heavenly country where everything will just be all right. Don't you want to go to that awful, wonderful place instead of that awful place? You're headed to an awful place right now. Don't you want to go to the heavenly country? You can, and you can cross on dry land. You know, Stephen was preaching the gospel to his brethren, to the Jewish people, and they stoned him to death. But as he was nearing death, he was full of the Holy Ghost, the Scripture says. The Holy Spirit, he just filled with it. And he said, "The heavens open." And Stephen said, "I see Jesus standing at the Father's right hand. Here in America, we have a song, 'There'll be a light at the river for me.' I'll tell you, Jesus said, 'I am the way, I am the truth, I am the light, and that light, Jesus Christ, will be at the river. He'll help us with that crossing. But how about you? You're going to have to face death. You're going to have to go. One song said, an old song I haven't heard in a long time said, you got to go in that valley by yourself. Friend, you can have Jesus with you, and you can cross Jordan on dry land. I want to ask you, don't you want to be a Christian? Don't you want to be saved by God's grace? Don't you want to have these blessings and promises that Christians that are truly, really born again, that have heartfelt salvation, they have these things? Don't you want to have that? The psalmist says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You know, God will bless us, and you that are lost ought to be able to look on and see that God is blessing us. Even when where some of us are poor and we don't have much, still we're blessed and we're happy. God loves us and He comforts us. And friend, He prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies. He blesses us in a lot of ways, and people can look on and they can see that we're Christians. I hope that you'll hear the message today and realize that a Christian is a truly born-again child of God, a fellow that has been regenerated by the Holy Spirit, not one that's just made a change in his own life like a Pharisee, but one that's been born from above, one's had a broken heart and a contrite spirit and prayed through to the Lord and found peace to his soul, been changed within. That's the one that I'm talking about. And people can see that there's a change in this kind of people. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. It is the spiritual blessings. God just blesses us spiritually. Sometimes He'll come by and give us a song and a night I mentioned earlier. Sometimes He'll just come by and give us joy unspeakable and full of glory. It seems for no reason at all. God will just bless us at times. Sometimes when the world is falling in around about us as Christians, you know, have all kinds of troubles. But when the world is just compass us about, the Lord will come by and He'll bless us, give us those spiritual blessings. Oh, it's a wonderful thing. But now here is the sum of it all. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Isn't it a wonderful thing to have confidence that the Lord will bless you all your life here? Then when this life is over, you just cross Jordan on dry land and you take up a abode in that heavenly country. Yeah, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's what the psalmist says. And friends, I have that confidence today because in the still of the night, God spoke peace to my soul when nothing else could help me. Tried most everything, but when I really and truly trusted my soul in the Lord's hands, He saved my soul. He blessed me. He gave me peace within, and many times since then, troubles and trials come along, and He'll give me peace to my soul. I pray that you can have what Christians have. Talk to the Lord about it. May God bless you is my prayer.